trigger warning for the beginning of the episode. We talk about a lot of things in this episode that you may be uncomfortable with. First of all, we're drinking in this episode, so if you have a problem with that, just skip over the episode entirely because that will be prevalent throughout the entire episode. And also, we are talking about suicide and brainwashing, and if you have any problems with that, then make sure that you don't listen to this because that will be prevalent throughout this whole episode. Thank you so much, guys. The show where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders, mysteries, and everything in between, all while enjoying a cup of tea and alcohol today. Like a tea party, but spooky.
And liquor. And drunk. Drunk tea party! Woo!
Today's letter is brought to you by alcohol.
Specifically,
vodka.
Vodka. Mike's Hard.
Angry Orchards.
Fireball. And Fireball. So far, that's everything we've had. We haven't actually had that much, but...
We're about to. It's going to be a long night, girls.
We have...
Six episodes that we're recording today?
Six episodes we're recording because Chloe's leaving to go home for Christmas on the 13th, and what's today, the 9th? So we're recording six episodes so we can be fully prepared for the upcoming holiday...
Departure.
Holidays.
Kitty's hands are going to be super tied with editing.
Yeah, let
I don't
me know.
Know how to edit. I'm dumb as shit.
Well, let me know if you need any help. I'll try my best.
Okay. All right, ready? I also have the husband to help. So
true. All right, we're drinking vanilla chai, from the local tea shop we have here, called Leaves. And Chloe is not excited about it.
I'm sure I'm gonna do this like a shot because I fucking hate this.
Do it. Shot. Oh, you just tapped it like a shot.
Yeah, she did.
She hated it.
I hated it so much.
While
that was cute.
Kat and I are enjoying ours with
like perfume.
What does it taste like? Perfume? Because there's a lot of cinnamon and vanilla in it. It was vanilla chai, Chloe.
I don't like it.
Okay.
So Kat and I are drinking this with whipped cream vodka.
Mm. A lot of whipped cream vodka.
One of Kat's favorite activities is Kat speaking in third person right now. One of Kat's favorite activities is making tea cocktails. They're really fun to make. So
except I was looking down, looking at my notes, and all of a sudden I just hear her pouring so much, and I'm like. Oh, God.
This is what happens when Kat doesn't have adult supervision, and Chloe doesn't count, okay?
No, I've never adult supervision. I need adult supervision. That being said, I'll be right back. I need another drink.
Oh, okay. Will you get me another?
We're going to pause this. All right.
We're back.
We had to take a pee break because all of us realized that we all had to pee.
Also, I needed another drink. This all is number three. I'm the last to record my episode.
Hopefully you
tonight.
Sober up a little bit before your episode happens.
Fuck you.
This is probably going to be, maybe, because I really want some of that raspberry vodka and the blueberry tea that we want, so.
Which episode is that?
What are we talking about today, Kitty?
So I'm going into a very dark, dark time.
Fun! I like that we're drunk for this.
That's the only way I can handle it.
We're diving deep into the mystery of the cult world, and I'm sure you've all heard of the Jonestown Massacre that happened a while ago.
Yeah,
I'm really glad that we're drunk for this
one.
I'm also glad because there's some very dark details that I am about to go over.
Oh,
and
I don't doubt it.
Not only am I going over these details, I'm also going to be going over some actual eyewitness accounts for survivors. All right, the Jonestown Massacre occurred on November 18th of 1978. Now, over 900 members of the American cult called the People's Temple died in a mass suicide murder under the direction of their leader, Jim Jones. So now we're going to go into the origins of the People's Temple. Before the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the tragedy at Jonestown was the single largest loss of lives in a non-natural disaster.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Jim Jones was born on May 31st, 1931, in just kind of like a rural, like, Indiana part, you know? Got a lot of farmlands and rolling hills and things like that, you know? Just like a small town.
Or you would imagine. Like, because small towns are never... small towns are never innocent. Ever.
No. Well, I don't know.
As a resident from a small town, small towns are never innocent ever. I stand by that statement. I'll die on that hill.
Please don't die on a hill.
No. I'm gonna die in the back of a van because a hot guy offered me candy and puppies.
Oh, God. Please don't.
So, I'm gonna do it.
Oh, boy. All right, so a little bit more about Jones's life. So in the early 1950s, Jones worked as a self-ordained Christian minister in small churches around Indianapolis.
Is there such a thing as self-ordained?
There is.
Apparently.
I feel like that's illegal in a couple of ways.
Back then, it wasn't uncommon.
I guess, like, yeah, I guess it was back in the, what, 40s or 50s?
Yeah. So, I mean, back then it wasn't as uncommon. Today, however, you actually have to get your, like, mm-hmm. license to do it and stuff.
Yeah.
My brother, his 19, for one of his senior projects, he got ordained online.
Oh.
So, Silas can marry people.
Wow.
Well, cool. A lot of people do that nowadays, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not hard.
That means 2/5 of my family is ordained.
Wow.
Wow.
Jesus.
Literally.
To help fund a church of his own, he started doing many different ventures, including going door-to-door selling live monkeys.
The fuck?
What?
He was an entrepreneur. And basically,
that's not an entrepreneur.
No, but this is not the only thing. But he did other ventures, like I said.
Monkeys is entrepreneurial, though. That is a crime.
Just a random weird thing. But, like, back then, like, anything could go. It is very
did
weird.
Did I ever tell y'all that my dad almost got us pet monkeys when I was a kid?
No. I actually know someone who has 2 monkeys.
I have a bird. Does that count?
No, not really.
I have to live with myself and my own thoughts.
Oh, here's a fun fact. If you all didn't know, Texas actually allows you to have kangaroos mm-hmm. as pets.
With a permit.
With a permit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to apply for that permit just to see what the fuck happens. If you donate to my Venmo, I'll fucking do it.
But apart from selling live monkeys, he just did a lot of different things to kind of like earn money to open up his church. He was real desperate about opening it up. So, apparently he made enough money to open his first People's Temple Church in Indianapolis in the mid-1950s.
So he was like, what, like 25?
Around that. He was like born in 31, and it's like mid-50s, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, imagine me trying to do that, because that's where I'm at.
I'm more 24 than I am 25.
Can we picture me trying to sell monkeys?
Oh, Chloe.
Let's not sell monkeys. Let's not sell animals unless they're, like, little,
also,
like, small.
If you're on vacation and some guy brings a monkey up to you for pictures in foreign countries, because that's the thing that happened to us when we were in Cancun, don't fucking do it. They treat the monkeys like garbage. And you giving them their business encourages that.
No.
Yeah. No. We don't like that.
Going in a little bit more about the People's Temple. So most of his congregation was racially integrated, which at this time was actually very unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
50s. Yeah. He wanted to be different. He wanted to stand out. He wanted it to be like, hey, I welcome everybody.
Yeah.
You know. And so in the mid-1960s, he actually decided to move his small congregation to Northern California. This is where it's going to start getting crazy.
Yeah.
So.
It got crazy with the monkey selling.
Yes, that was very weird and random.
Yeah. Fucking you mean start?
I mean as far as the temple.
That's fair. Proceed.
So first they settled in Redwood Valley in Mendocino County. So Jones decided to relocate his organization's headquarters to San Francisco and also opened a temple in Los Angeles. So he's trying to branch out.
Yeah.
Now, while he was in San Francisco, Jones became a powerful figure.
Oh, no.
Mm. Being a powerful figure, mm-hmm. there's ways that he was able to climb up to be so powerful. So he carried favor with a lot of the public figures, so a lot of the officials in office, and with also the media.
Mm-hmm.
This is where he's trying to make himself look perfect and good.
Saintly.
So he would go and donate money to charitable causes and even would deliver votes for various politicians during election time. So he's really trying to worm his way in to be the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds illegal. Mm. I mean, everything this man did was illegal, but it sounds illegal.
Oh, yeah. So the People's Temple was looking really, really good in the public's eye around this time, right? Because, like, they're like, oh, they're doing, you know, they're donating money to charitable causes. They're doing all this community stuff. Yeah, they're, like, looking super freaking good. So people are like, awesome, we want to join this, the People's Temple. Anyway. So also, another reason why they were looking really good in the public's eye was because they started to run rural social and medical programs for the needy, including free dining halls, drug rehab, and legal aid services. Yeah, they started to provide legal aid services to the public. Jones was trying to send a message of social equality and racial justice in order to attract a diverse group of followers, which he did gain.
Yeah. See, what I hate about this kind of situation is I want to be like, yeah, good on him. And then I'm like, wait, this man murdered and brainwashed almost 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Do you see like, hey, why? Man. People were, like, starting to fall, like, for this, like, organization.
God, I would
have. I have so much things to say.
I would have.
Yeah. It's a thing to fall for. Like, mm-hmm. you're like, if you are a progressive thinker, you're like, oh, yeah, this guy, he
knows what's up.
No, he knows what's up. He's
doing
woke.
Good. He's doing so much stuff.
I would like to think that I'm smart enough to not have been the one that drank the Kool-Aid. I straight up would have been the first one. I was like, yeah, this is what we gotta do, guys. Racial equality.
I mean, like, you want to, right? Because your brain is like, yes.
In hindsight, I know now it wouldn't have happened, but I'm dumb bitch number one.
Well, no, but back, then, though, a lot of people fell for it because they didn't.
Well, because things like this didn't. Well, yeah, because things like this didn't exist back then.
Yes, I'm also exactly. dumb bitch number one. You can.
So this is all new territory.
We would have all fallen for it because we were all, we are all progressive thinkers, and we were all like, anytime we hear, like, racial equality and fight for justice, we're like, hell yeah, let's do it. But back then, they didn't know what cults were. They didn't know what stuff like this
they
was.
They just thought, oh, this sounds really good. Let's try to follow this guy. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember the masked men from the Black Lives Matter protests that went viral on TikTok?
The Halo guys? Oh, those man. Men? Oh, my God. And the Halo guys and one girl, I think. It was, yeah, it Halo was people. Yeah. The Halo people. Yes.
I don't do TikTok, so I don't know.
I never simped harder for someone. I didn't know what they looked like. And I was like, oh, could get it.
I have, and I can name him right now.
Oh, no, this is pre-Corpse Husband. Yeah. I would do that now. Wait
a name drop.
I know.
Anyway. Here we go.
So now, a lot of his new followers were idealistic young people who wanted to do something meaningful in their lives. And so this is
why we
where
would have fallen for it.
Yep. Yes, because they're like, oh,
if
shit, let's
do
something
good. If you
think
you're better than this, you're not.
No.
Yeah.
True. That's how cults work.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, as his congregation grew, negative reports began to surface about Jones, who was being called father by his followers.
Well, I mean, like a priest, so that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, like, they would call him Father. Like, that was his nickname. So, this is just a random fun fact for you guys. Around 1977, there were around 20,000 members of People's Temple around that time.
My town was smaller than that. I did the math. You'll hear about that in my episode.
Well, I mean, if you think about
it, bigger,
like,
but
20,000 people isn't a lot.
No, not at this time, but it's growing. Like, but it gets bigger, but yeah, this was about around that time when it first started. He's starting to gain new followers, so around that time, he had about 20,000.
Yeah.
So some of the former members of Jones's followers described some of the horrific things they encountered while being members. Also, when I laughed a second ago, it wasn't because of this. It was because that's just how I'm coping.
Yeah, no, laughter is a coping mechanism. Yes. If anyone says otherwise, fuck you! You don't know what you're talking about!
They were forced... Okay, now this is... I'm going into the things that happened, and this is really, really so fucked up.
So, trigger warning part two.
Trigger warning part two, you guys.
So, cult shit.
When they joined the People's Temple, they were forced to give up their belongings, their homes, and even custody of their children. They also had said to have been subjected to beatings and also said Jones staged fake cancer healings. Like, he would go in and pretend like, hey, I'm a miracle worker. You know, God is great. God is this. Like, you know, you come to my congregation, I can help heal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If someone ever says this to you and they're not a doctor, incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
Go see a fucking doctor. That's why they're there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These people back then, sorry, boomers, but,
no, we're not. We're
not sorry.
We're not.
The two borderline Gen Zs aren't sorry.
You guys fell for a lot of shit back then. I'm sorry.
Fucking nerds.
So, well, I literally just said we would have probably fallen for it, too, because progressive thinkers were like, hell yeah, bitch.
This is how I'm coping with my own dumb bitch.
I get it.
So a former member came forward. Her name was Yolanda Williams. She said punishment became a normal thing, so his behavior became totally... I'm sorry. Let me go back over. So a former member stepped forward, and her name is Yolanda Williams, and she says, quote, punishment became a normal thing. His behavior became totally irrational. You begin to just go with the flow out of fear. Fear of the fact that if you left the church, what you might experience, what danger might be brought to you. He started to alienate you from your families, destroy that family unit, so that then he could become the predator, but also the one who was the provider of every need that you required in life. End quote.
Yep, that's the manipulative son of a bitch.
So manipulative, like,
oh yeah,
real bad. So in 1974, Jones leased more than 3,800 acres of isolated jungle from the Guyanese government.
Did you just, hold on, can you lease jungles?
Then you could.
I have a question for any real estate agents out there. All of the questions, really. I need you to contact me at our SpookyTimeD Gmail with the heading on the email, Chloe's Jungle Party. I have some thoughts in it. I just have questions.
What questions?
They'll know when they email me.
Yeah.
I'm not getting myself into trouble on the internet with having this a recorded conversation.
So Jones believed that the mostly English-speaking South American country could be a sort of, I'm going to do this in quotations just because, a sort of utopia for his California-based congregation.
Huh.
That's unfortunate.
There's the xenophobia.
So by 1977, nearly 1,000 of his followers moved to Guyana and set up a compound known as Jonestown. So Jonestown ended up not turning out to be the socialist utopia that they were promised.
No shit, Sherlock. No surprise,
yes. So temple members worked extremely long days in the fields and were subjected to harsh punishments if they questioned his authority. So their passports and medications were confiscated, and they were plagued by mosquitoes and tropical diseases.
Oh, no.
Their medications were taken from them.
Fuck, like, dude.
People need medications for things. Like, why?
If you took away my medications, I would not be a fun person.
Oh, no.
I'd be sick all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it there, because otherwise this is going to become PG-13.
But just think about it. Like, the mosquitoes in that area are so... so bad. That's why a lot of people got sick.
Yeah, they carry a lot of diseases. Yeah.
Malaria.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So, you know, it's just, it wasn't looking good for everybody. So, there also were armed guards that were patrolling this compound. So, they would patrol Jonestown to make sure nobody was escaping or leaving.
Interesting. Interesting how that works out across the board in cults.
Although I'm sure that he was probably telling his followers that, like, oh no, this is to keep people from coming in and hurting us.
Oh, yep. Wait until we get to DIA's episode. Yeah.
So now here's where it starts to get really, really fucked up. So not only were they not allowed to basically leave the compound unless probably given permission, their phone calls and letters were censored to keep from leaking info out to the outside world. They were also encouraged to inform on one another about if something was, like, someone was talking shit about Jones's authority. Or so they basically had, they were encouraged to tattle on each other.
Tattle on me now, bitch. I'm questioning Jones's authority right the fuck now.
And also they, and this is, like, what is real shitty, like, they were forced to attend late night meetings that ran super long, like, super, super long. So, like, these poor people are, like, going to these late meetings. They cannot miss these meetings. And they have to, like, get up early, like, ass crack of dawn to, like, go back into the fields and do whatever it is that they were doing in the fields. Like, tending, like, the soil and, like, harvesting stuff. Like,
I have a hard time getting into the mind space of the leaders of these things that are so brainwashed on their own drunken power.
was like, how do you not remember you invented this shit? Like, yeah. You're not, no.
It's weird, because he... Like,
maybe I'm not smart enough to get it, because cult leaders are always, like, charismatic, and they're supposed to be, quote-unquote, brilliant people. Mm. Maybe I'm just too much of a dumb bitch.
You have to be brilliant to convince thousands of people to follow you.
Goodness, guys, I'm not a cult leader.
And the thing is, though, like, this guy actually used to be really good. Like, he was, like, you know, like, an actual good guy. Well, but then something switched.
I guess it goes to show just what exactly... that much power can do to a person.
Oh, it wasn't just power. There was other factors in it. But
I mean, I'm just saying.
A lot of things are based in power, though. Whether they're specifically power or not, that power brings you a whole shit ton of everything. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not always in a good way. I don't want my words being taken out of context.
So, around this time, Jones's mental health started to decline due to his drug abuse. He was doing some hard drugs, and he started to go a little psycho. Here's a little things about what happened that he started to do around the compound. So, he had a throne in the compound's, like, main pavilion.
I want a throne now.
No.
It's not culty, I just want to be with the princess.
So, he would also often compare himself to, Vladimir Lenin. He served as the head of the government of Soviet Russia. Yep. And he also compared himself to Jesus Christ.
That's fun.
They always do.
Always.
They always do.
So Jones became very paranoid not only because of the drug abuse, but just because he hears all this negative shit that's been talking and stuff. So he's been real paranoid. And he believed that the government and the media and others were out to get him.
Oh, I mean, MO of cults is that they don't allow their congregations to look at media because the media is, quote-unquote, out to get them when it's like, the media is actually reporting the truth on you. Have fun. Which cracks me up for a multitude of reasons that involves this year's political election.
I'm not going to say it.
Anyway, keep going. And we're rolling people.
So
I feel like if you're in our demographic, you get it.
You get it.
But I'm still not going to say it.
So because of Jones's paranoia, he began to require the People's Temple members to participate in mock suicide drills in the middle of the night because of his paranoia.
Fuck.
Yeah. His
because he was convinced.
He was convinced they were out to get him and everyone else in that compound, and he did not want anyone to say anything. So he's like, nope, we're going to start doing this.
Yeah.
If they come to us, this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to go in about an event that happened at Jonestown. There's a couple different events that I'm going to talk about, but this one in particular happened before the one that we all know.
The big one.
Yes.
The end all be all, if you will.
Correct. So I'm going to talk about the airstrip ambush.
Oh, shit.
Yes. It gets real trigger warning.
We haven't done enough trigger warnings.
I'm going to say it again. It gets real graphic.
Fast forward like 5 or 10 minutes if you don't want to hear the dark shit.
Leo Ryan is a U.S. representative from California. He heard some of his constituents that their family members were being held against their will at Jonestown. Now, Ryan decided to go and investigate this because he is like, okay, hold up. What the fuck's going on? Mm-hmm. Why are these people being held against their will? And we need to go ahead and go and figure out what the hell's going on. Because this is not good at all. You know, a lot of people were worried and were coming to him. So he's like, hey, I gotta do this. You know, he's part of the government. He had to go and investigate. So he arrived in Guyana in November 1978 with a group of news reporters, photographers, and concerned family members. So... come November 17th, the congressmen and reporters were welcomed to Jonestown, the compound, and was greeted with an evening of dinner and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So Jones agreed to meet with the reporters, like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll tell you the lowdown of, like, what are our compounds about? What our village, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like a tiny village, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to call yourself a compound.
No, of course.
No, not at all. It's like, welcome to our village. You know, this is like what we do. We make our own, we grow our own vegetables and fruit and all these different things, right? He's
our sanctuary.
There you go. Their utopia. of course, you know, this is all, like, he's putting on this, like, air about it. Like, oh, it's so great. Everything's great here.
Everything's perfect. We'll tell you everything. You'll love it. You'll join.
Exactly. That's not what went down. I know. So during the visit, while they were there having their dinner and stuff, a couple of the members, like, had come up to Leo and was like, you know, like, hey, so we know you're here, but, can you get us out of here? Mm. Secretly. Like, they're trying to be as secretive as possible because, you know, what happens? They're going to get punished if anything gets
it
out there.
It is truly, in its purest form, an abusive relationship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, like, these poor people are, like, please, like, pleading with them, like, please get us out of here. Like, we need your help. Like, get us out of here. So, on November 18th, Ryan and his group left with a small group of the People's Temple defectors and left out of Jonestown.
How did they pull that off?
They snuck out in the middle of the night. Okay. I don't know how they got past the guard.
Yeah, it's something we'll never know unless it's explicitly written somewhere.
And I looked at very deep. They didn't really go into details as much about that part. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming they probably just kind of, like, snuck out.
Given what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, they left Jonestown, but tragedy struck as Ryan's group was ambushed by a group of gunmen sent by Jones himself. Mm. He knew what they were planning. He knew it. Yeah. Probably somebody snitched on them or something, like...
Yeah, no, because that's for real. There's a story I'm considering doing, and the only reason I'm not 100% sold on doing it is because it's an ongoing thing, currently, and it's kind of... I found a shit ton of videos. I went down maybe a 4-hour spiral on TikTok of specifically girls sharing their story from, do you know the, kind of the problems that are coming to light? They've been in light, but no one gives a shit, unfortunately. I do, but.
What problems?
Do you know the troubled teen industry?
Yes.
So there's two schools specifically. The name of the girls' school escapes me, but they got shut down, and the owners of it are trying to fight it. And there's a partner school that is for boys. Mm-hmm. Both of them are quote unquote religious based, and I say quote unquote because what they are doing is not okay, no matter what you believe in, because everyone has different beliefs. Mm-hmm. They're saying that they're following the Bible, and I was raised as a pastor's kid, wholeheartedly disagree what they're doing is evil and vile, and they're hurting people. Mm. And yeah, they very much raise, like, it's culty. They raise the girls and the boys to snitch on each other if they do anything wrong. There's a story about a girl getting quote-unquote floored, which is if you're doing something wrong, they will get other girls to come pin you down on the floor and sit on you.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so I am uncomfortable doing this story purely because as much research as I've done on it...
It's something that's so current that you're afraid to, like, really touch it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so current. There's people that are truly affected by this. That, like, it's still ongoing. People are still suffering in those schools. And if I were to do it, I want to reach out to someone that has those stories. Because the child of the owner of the girls' school... is on TikTok and has been telling her story because she was also raised in this.
Maybe try reaching out to her.
Maybe, but it's also, like, they're also doing investigations, so I really don't want to jeopardize that because it's terrible. It's unhealthy, and if anyone ever tells you, like... First of all, I want to put a slight... If an adult ever tells you as a child to keep a secret, fucking tell someone, that's not okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, if you are in a situation like this where someone's asking you for information, like, tell me what this person is doing or what you think this person is doing or you'll get your ass beat, that's not okay. That's manipulative. That's abuse.
Yeah.
So, like, just kind of...
Well, that's what happened. That's why Jones is, like, he put fear in their hearts, and so they had to do this because they were afraid of what was going to happen to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, of course, someone had to snitch on them. Like, yeah. It's a sad situation.
Yeah.
Snitches help bitches end up in ditches.
Yep.
I was going to say snitches get stitches, and in that case, it did actually happen.
Yeah. However, in depending on the situation you're in.
Thank you.
Like, if it's an abuse situation, snitches will help the bitches end up in ditches.
Yep.
And that, again, goes with, like, if someone's telling you to keep a secret from, like, a trusted family member, fucking tell that trusted family member because they're doing something shady as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So, going back.
Back to Jonestown.
So, like I had said, they all left the compound, mm-hmm. right? And then they were ambushed by this group of gunmen sent by Jones. So, a lot of people ended up getting killed around that time. Leo Ryan was killed, along with a reporter, a cameraman from NBC, a photographer from the San Francisco Examiner, and a female People's member who was attempting to leave. Oh. Now, I have some eyewitness accounts that I wanted to read. So mm-hmm. one of the ladies that actually worked for Ryan, she was one of his staffers that was there with them. She went in and talked about a lot of stuff. So before going, like, I'm going to go kind of backwards a little bit and talk about, like, some things that she had mentioned about what happened when they were there. Mm-hmm. So she said, in quote, so this is Jackie Spire. She was one of his aides. And she talked about, like, a lot of what happened. So I'm going to do a couple quotes of, like, stuff that she said. So she had said, Congressman Ryan and I sat in the back of the pavilion at the picnic table with benches and started interviewing members of the People's Temple. Mm-hmm. This is all while they were there and everything, right? So a lot of these young women were 18 and 19 years of age, making it very clear that they were very happy there, and they were all getting married to fellow members of the People's Temple, none of which added up. Hmm. So it kind of sounds like they were being, you know, obviously they were brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. Making they were being fed information and tell mm-hmm. people.
So, like, after the delegation was fed dinner and they had, like, this musical performance that they were enjoying for entertainment purposes and stuff, people were starting to come to them, slipping them notes like, hey, please get us out of here, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I was looking at this note and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's true. Everything we feared is true. She's like, then all of a sudden word started getting out and then more and more people started to come to them saying that they wanted to leave. So it started with a little note and then it kind of started to spread. So it kind of sounds like, okay, so some people probably heard about it, but were too scared to act on it, so maybe they had to say something to Jones about it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna go backtrack a little bit. I'm gonna talk about the ambush because she actually has an eyewitness account and it's really, really sad. So she said as they were heading up, like, they actually got to the planes at the airstrip, mm-hmm. and they started loading people up. And as they were boarding the planes, a tractor trailer with a few men from Jones's security detail drove up and opened fire on the group. Ryan was killed instantly. She said, in quote, I saw everyone scurrying, and then I saw Congressman Ryan get shot. And then she said, I'm running under the plane as well, and he's down, and I'm getting down, and just thinking to myself, oh my God, this is it, I'm going to die. She said that she tried to lie down and play dead, but then she realized she actually was shot. She says, in quote, my whole leg is blown up. There's a bone coming out of my right arm. And then she also said there was no reason why she survived, but it just wasn't her time. So I guess some of the People's Temple took this opportunity while everyone was distracted trying to, like, scurry away. Mm-hmm. They were able to sneak off into the jungle in hopes of escaping, like, everything that's going on. And I guess one of the survivors, her name was Leslie Wagner Wilson, and her 3-year-old son. So apparently, I guess after walking 30 miles through the dense brush, she had her child strapped on her back. They reached a small town of Port Kaituma, and it was only there that they had learned about the shooting. So she wasn't part of the group that was, like, that was getting shot. She had kind of snuck off.
Oh, okay.
Into the jungle before the shooting started. All right, so on the same day of the ambush and the murders at the airstrip, Jones told his followers soldiers would come and torture them. He then ordered everyone to gather at the main pavilion and commit what he termed a, in quote, revolutionary act, end quote. And he termed it that himself. So this is very hard to talk about right here. So the youngest members were the first to die. As parents and nurses used syringes to drop a potent mix of cyanide, sedatives, and powdered fruit juice into the children's throats.
And that's, I think that's the hardest part of it, is like, These kids didn't ask to be there. They didn't ask to believe.
Some
of
these poor children were born there. Like,
yeah.
They didn't want this.
No.
They had whole lives ahead of them. They could have been different. They could have done great things, and that was taken away from them. Is the worst part of all of this for me. Like,
mm-hmm. Like, they were innocent. They didn't want to be a part of that at all. So apparently, Jones obtained a jeweler's license at some point, which actually enabled him to stockpile the cyanide. So this is where he got the cyanide. He ended up getting the license for that. And I guess you can get as much cyanide if you have that license. So,
Do we monitor that shit more closely these days because of this? Because I feel like we should.
Probably. There's probably regulations
that
now.
That and the cyanide, the kid with the pixie stick back in the 70s, 60s or 70s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So after the youngest members passed away, adults then lined up to drink the poisoned lace drink while armed guards surrounded the pavilion. So again, as to not let people run off, they had to do this. They were forced to. So, and also here is a, this is where the source of the phrase drinking the Kool-Aid actually originated from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course.
So when Guyanese officials arrived at Jonestown the next day, what they found was horrific. I'm painting a picture right now, and you guys are going to be very disturbed. So they found the compound carpeted with hundreds of bodies. Many people died with their arms around each other, like holding each other because they were forced to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I got goosebumps. Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is one of the hardest episodes we've recorded.
Yes.
Like, one of the most difficult.
So, Jim Jones was found on his throne, dead, with a singular bullet wound to his head, which was most likely self-inflicted. Because I'm sure he probably wanted to watch everybody do the thing before turning on himself. So, the death toll for Jonestown Massacre on November 18th of 1978 was 909 people. A third of them were children. So a few people were managed to escape that day into the jungle, while several dozen more of the People's Temple members, including several of Jones's sons, were in another part of Guyana, or Guyana at the time. Like, they were sent off to go do something, and I guess because it was so short notice that they decided to do this act, they were not there. They weren't informed. They were on a different part
they
of this.
They were saved by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, like, they were on an errand for
For
the compound, yeah. So in total, only 33 people survived.
Holy shit.
Crazy.
Hold on, I need to do the percentage of, like, how, like, percent, like...
Several people were shot and killed.
Yeah.
For trying to run away as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3%-ish. I don't do math, so it's correct me if crazy. I'm wrong. But that looks like 3%, right?
Out of, what, 950...
Divided by
909. Yeah. Well, she said 909 people died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not including the 33 that lived.
Yeah.
So it would be...
Oh, wait. That's right. 909.
And then
plus
30...
Plus 33.
Yeah.
Divided by... 33 divided by that. Okay.
So, while you're doing that...
Still 3%.
Yeah. No, it would be 4%. Because you round up if it's a 5.
Yeah.
So a terrifying recording of the event known as the death tape actually helped investigators know exactly what happened that night.
I can't listen to it.
Jesus Christ.
So they found...
I know it exists.
I don't want to listen to it.
No. So
I don't do well with recordings at all. Mm-mm. Like, I can't listen to 911 calls. I can't do any of it.
So
we'll never hear that if it's my episode ever, because I can't do it.
No, and I'm never... No, I'm not playing it. So what they found, over 1,000 recordings of, like, propaganda, conversations, sermons, painted a horrific picture of the activities that actually took place in the People's Temple. Not just in Jonestown, but just in the whole People's Temple in general. So, like, actually, in the audio tapes, you can hear Jones... you can hear him telling his flock, like, the congressman's dead. And this is a quote. The congressman's dead. The congressman is dead. Many of our traitors are dead. They are all laying out there dead. Do you think they're going to allow us to get by with this? There's no way we can survive. It's not worth living like this. End quote. Then Jones called for this the vat with the green sea to be brought forward, insisting that it was time to end their lives. Mm. So, I guess apparently on the tape, supporters can be heard clapping as Jones instructed families to kill the elderly first, then the youngest. So there's different sources saying that the youngest went first and then the elderly. So it's like, it's kind of like mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As to who got killed first.
And we'll never really know.
Mm-mm. There's pictures and it's so sad.
Well, if on the tape he said kill the elderly first.
So then maybe it was the elderly first, but.
Maybe. But the thing is like, with the tape stopping and them finding the body, something could have flipped a switch.
Really. Yeah.
So, like, we can speculate all we want. We'll never know.
Yeah.
But more than...
Sorry, we're trying to break the tension because we're all struggling. Kat found a makeup brush in the desk and there's dust coming out of it?
Powder. It's makeup powder.
Why is it in your desk?
I don't know. So, more than 400 unclaimed bodies from the tragedy are buried at the Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland, California, where many of his followers were from. Mm-hmm. There was actually a stone memorial that was unveiled at the cemetery in 2008. So, like,
that's crazy.
For the memories of these, like, people who ended up having to lose their lives over this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't their fault.
No.
Because they were brainwashed.
It's just not your fault.
Absolutely. That's about the gist of this whole story. It got real heavy.
Yeah. Of course. No, this is the heaviest episode. It feels, at least for us recording emotionally wise, the energy in this room is different than it usually when we're recording these. And it's just so extremely tragic and difficult to talk about shit like this. Like, it's hard.
It's sad. Like, and I don't know, like, how the other People's Temple members felt. The ones that didn't go with them. The ones that, you know,
Survivor's were... Survivor's guilt, probably, is a, like... I can't imagine it would be anything else.
I wouldn't assume so. Ugh. Anyways, yeah, that was a heavy, heavy, story. I wanted to do this story just because it needed to be
told. It's a story that needs to be told. Yes. Yeah. For sure. It's one that you can't claim you have a true crime or spooky podcast if you don't talk about. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, the territory, but it also kind of really sucks in this time of, like, it's a lot.
The reality is that these things are still happening today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you think the world has changed, but we've progressed in slight ways, but shit like this still happens. The world is still...
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there are people out there who prey on other people who...
Want to be better
and who think... Who are in a place where they think, I want to do something more, I want to do something better, and this X organization... Look at all the things they're doing. They're going to help me do that. I'm going to pay X amount of money. I'm going to do X amount of things.
But the sad part is that they don't understand what's underneath all of that.
Yeah. And they don't want to understand.
It's hunting. I had this in my head and I couldn't figure out. I had it phrased fairly well in my head. Unbridled isn't the term I want to look for. But it's hunting naive ambition is what it is. Because we all want to do something great. I don't know about you guys, but one of my biggest fears is not mattering to someone, or, like, it used to be I didn't want to not matter to the world or to history. Now I just don't want to not matter to someone.
Oh, yeah.
As, like, just my thing. And so if someone can, like, say that they guarantee me that I will make a difference and I will matter,
I mean, that's, like... If anyone promises you, oh, if you do this thing, you're going to be remembered forever. You're going to be remembered for helping the planet and for X, Y, Z, and you're going to be, you know, you're going to be a huge part of this thing that we're doing, of course you want to join. But of course you want to make a difference.
The sad reality is that in this case, 400 bodies were not even claimed.
Yeah.
Nobody came to claim them. No family, no nothing. Like, it was like they were erased.
They were alienated from their families.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that would be the case still today.
Yeah.
If something like that were to happen. Because many families of these cults are disconnected, for lack of a better word, from
their
family.
They're disconnected, they're angry, they're hurt, they're... It could be literally any of these reasons and then some. Like, it just... The alienation, and I thought that's... No matter what you end up doing, no matter where you end up going in life, no matter what job you have, no matter what you do that you think you're doing well... You every single step of the way need to reevaluate and take everything with a grain of salt is what I'm doing really good and is it really helping? And you have to look. You have to look. I don't like poking holes in things. You have to look for the negative thing of everything you're doing to make sure that something like this doesn't happen to you. And
absolutely.
And absolutely, this is an extreme case. Absolutely. This does not happen every day. But still, like, you could think that, oh, me giving to XYZ charity is going to make a difference. But you have to also look at the back end of this charity. Where's that money going? I was working for a specific company that did some cancer research donations when you made a purchase. I will not say the company. It was a while ago. But I got told, and she was not mad at me at all. She's like, sweetie, I know this is your job. I know it's okay. And I know that you're told to do this. But just so you know, every donation that's being made to this specific company all goes into the pocket of the CEO.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, like, it sucks that this is how it is. Like, people really should, like, no one should be pocketing money for donations to help the sick. Ever. But that's the world that we live in. But we have to, and back then it was harder to do this research. It was the 70s. You didn't have access to the internet.
Yeah.
And cancel culture, as much as I hate it, is fucking big right now. You can find out anything that anyone's ever done wrong. Mm-hmm. Listen, here's the thing on cancel culture. I don't like it. I think it's toxic. I think it's as toxic as some of the shit people get quote-unquote canceled for, and it never works. That being said, it holds people fucking accountable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they needed back then.
Yeah, but sadly, they did not.
They didn't have it. And so with all of that, take everything you do, and you have to look for how someone's going to perceive this as bad, and you have to decide if that's worth it for you.
Oh, yeah.
Is that worth what you are, is that worth, like, something you believe in? It's just, like, kind of,
part of becoming an adult is deciding who, is finding out and deciding who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And what you are willing to fight for, what you are willing to believe, like, who you want to be the paw print? Why did Blue's Clues just pop into my head?
Because we were talking about it earlier because I share a birthday with Steve.
Yes. You have to decide the footprint that you want to leave on humanity. Who do you want people to remember you to be for? And you have to decide how best to get there for you. And it's going to be different for everybody. That being said, my general life rule is don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And so, yeah. So that's Kitty falling out of a chair. Hey, I wasn't the one to do it. I said at the beginning of this episode, and I don't know if the mic was on, that I'm going to fall out of this chair at some point during recording tonight, and you did it first.
Well,
and that was Jonestown.
Yep, that was Jonestown. It was a very, very heavy story.
It was really, really
hard to get through.
It was really introspective.
Mm-hmm. It was. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring to light the tragedy and to let, you know, people know about the really fucked up shit that Jim Jones did.
You did a really good job telling the story from my perspective.
Yes. Thank you.
I think we had a very good conversation, which is all we can do.
100%. Yeah. It's all we can do.
So
we're
capable of doing it. So, guys, I think we're going to go ahead and close this episode out for the night.
Oh, yeah. We're going back to our old format.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we should probably mention that. Yeah. So, we're going back to our old format because
they do better.
They do better.
You guys format better.
It's just that we noticed, you know, when
that you like the old format better.
Just looking at the, like, the different, like, viewerships, but the, like, analytics. the listenership has gone down a little bit, just because it's just because it's not as much information being packed in.
And if that's the case, the last few episodes have been a struggle to record with kind of everything that's been going on in of our lives.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So, we're working on that. All six of the episodes that we're recording tonight, so, like, for the next 6 weeks, I feel like and confidently say have been, what are you doing, ma'am?
She is going through all of my stuff.
Cat put on sunglasses and we're in a dark room. Okay. this episode and the next five. So
I can't. No.
I didn't choose the thug life.
Jesus Christ. Sober up.
Anywho,
this episode and the next five episodes I feel like can confidently say are some of the best research ones we've ever done.
Yeah, oh, we did my really gosh. Well. Yeah, we did. We
I finished writing my other one yesterday, and usually I'm writing it as I'm talking.
Oh yeah, we all podcast. made sure to dedicate days to doing the research on these.
And those of us that don't get days off because they work two jobs and one of them's full time does this during her lunch breaks and also while she's training. any free second.
Oh, wait. Eat your lunch.
No, heart emoji. I also write it, like, I don't sleep anymore. I write it when I get home. I've been researching and writing when I get home and then waking up at the butt crack of dawn for work the next day. And so, like, I was really disappointed in my last few episodes. And so I was like, all right, cool. We're knocking the shit out of the park with the next ones. And so, yeah, I feel like that's how it was for all of us because we're all like, last week, we're all like, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were really dragging last week, dude.
So, yeah, new format. And so we're going to sign off now so that we can record the other 5 episodes.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us at our Spooky Time Tea Party. Don't forget to spread the spook by sharing with your friends and family or whoever else you think might enjoy our show. If you have a story you would like to share or for us to talk about, you can email us at spookytimetea@gmail.com. And remember, everyone, don't believe everything you hear. Do your research. And for God's sakes,
don't join a cult.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Sweet dreams.